This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. You know, sometimes you make a promise with the best of intentions, but then events just conspire against you. Such is the case today with me and this program and inflation. Been trying my darndest not to overwhelm things with inflation stories, but we'll get the latest reading on the I word tomorrow morning when the Bureau of Labor Statistics graces us with the Consumer Price Index for June. May, as you might or might not remember, showed the biggest annual increase in consumer prices, 4.9%, in 13 years. And here is why I'm telling you this. Housing is part of the CPI, Consumer Price Index, and housing prices have been rising like crazy, as you know. So you'd think you might see that reflected in the monthly number. But the shelter component of inflation, as it's called, has actually stayed pretty steady for the past decade. Marketplace's Amy Scott went to try to figure out why.
To understand how the BLS measures housing inflation, I went straight to the source.
I'm Steve Reed. I'm an economist in the information analysis section of the Consumer Price Index program at the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
How's that for a government title? Reed's job is to explain the CPI and the data behind it to the public. He says the goal of the CPI is to measure changes in the cost of living over time. To do that, it tracks prices for a bunch of different things like gas, groceries, clothes, and housing. The overall housing category includes furniture, appliances, and utilities, even lodging away from home. But the biggest component is what we pay for our primary residence. The price of rental housing is easy. The index looks at changes in monthly rents. But most Americans own their homes, and that's where it gets tricky.
When you purchase a home, a large aspect of that purchase is an investment aspect. It's not a consumption aspect. And we are trying to measure the price change for consumption.
To do that, the Bureau uses a calculation known as owner's equivalent rent.
The idea there is that if you're living in your home, your cost of sort of consuming the shelter provided by that home is what you're foregoing by not renting it to somebody else.
The CPI estimates owner's equivalent rent by looking at actual rents for comparable homes in the same area. But remember, housing is just one item in that basket of goods, and because it takes up a bigger chunk of most of our budgets, it carries a bigger weight in the overall measure of inflation. Real rents and would-be rents make up about a third of the CPI. To come up with that weight, the BLS surveys us about how much we spend on the items in the basket, including rent, and for homeowners.
That's where we have to ask this question. If you were to rent your house, how much could it rent for?
Seeing as how most homeowners probably don't spend a lot of time thinking about renting out their homes, they guess. You may think all that guessing is why some economists have a problem with the way the CPI measures housing inflation.
It's always around 2.5%, regardless of the economic conditions.
Jiro Yoshida is a business professor at Penn State University. He says it's not the guesses, it's the hard numbers, the ones based on actual rents that distort the inflation rate. Renters who stay in the same place for a long time typically only see small increases every year. But when they move out, rents often jump a lot for the next tenant. Yoshida thinks the CPI has too few of those renters in the mix.
That appreciation rate tend to be underestimating the reality because that survey misses the huge adjustment between long-term tenants.
Yoshida and some colleagues created a different measure of housing inflation based on new leases. And voila!
Between April and May, we have 8.4% annualized inflation. So that is significantly higher than 2.5% CPI rent.
And if you plugged that bigger housing number into the overall CPI, inflation in May would have been nearly 0.5% higher. Not a small thing if you're on Social Security and your cost of living increase is pegged to the CPI, or if it determines your annual raise at work. The BLS has tweaked its formula, but not enough, Yoshida says. And if you're wondering how all this measures up for the Fed, it uses a different index, which Yoshida says also underestimates housing inflation. But we've done enough for today. Maybe next time. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.